before I come to the meeting.
No natural light.
Okay, we have here
a beautiful application. Christ and the church, Christ and his members, all of one. Then we have what I believe to be the interpretation. Oil is always a type of the Holy Spirit of God. There are seven lamps. We read of the seven spirits of God. We read also in Isaiah 11 of the seven, six of the Holy Spirit and six attributes of the Holy Spirit. Seven again and again is connected to the Holy Spirit of God, and oil always is a type of the Holy Spirit. So there we have the light. And it illuminates all this room where the table is. That's why, though it might over the top of itself, the Holy Spirit of God shines light upon that which typifies the Lord's table. But now, for a little while, before we get to the snuffers and the snuff dishes and the snuff, but I want to speak about that, I want to give this a practical application. Now, brothers and sisters, it's an application. Our brother tonight gave out the hymn that I was going to give out at the end of the meeting, Walk in the Light, Walk in the Light. Now, I like to hear hymns given out that I have in mind. I want to give this an application. When our Lord was here on earth, he said, I am the light of the world. But what now? Turn, please, to Matthew chapter 5, reading at verse 14. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, and reading at verse 14. I think we'll read at verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden underfoot of men. But not only are we the salt of the earth. Notice verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick or lampstand. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Here the Lord says, ye are the light of the world, salt of the earth. Both are silent in action. Both salt and light are silent in action. But a little goes a long way. It's a bad business when we put too much salt on our food, we spoil it. A little goes a long way. A little bit of light goes a long way. I remember holding gospel meetings some years ago in the old Cliff Street Gospel Hall in Boston, and it was in the month of November, a large hall, and I just got nicely started to speak when the lights went out. Pitch black. It's a good thing I didn't preach some notes. Just pitch black. Well, one young man groped his way out, and he got outside, and he came in with one, not a full-size flashlight, one of these little wee pencil flashlights, just a little bit of a thing. And I saw that little wee light, and he came all the way down. You know that little bit of light works wonders. And he handed that little bit of a light up to me on the desk, and I thanked him for it. A little bit of light goes a long way, brothers and sisters. It was to 11 men, for Judas wasn't one of them. To 11 men, he said, ye are the light of the world. Now he said, let your light shine before man. Now turn over, please, to the Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians, chapter 2. Individually, he said to the 11, ye are the light of the world. Now here he's writing to the church at Philippi. Philippians 2, verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, without reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now I want for a few moments, before getting to the snuffers and the snuff dishes and the snuff itself, I want to give this lampstand an application, brethren and sisters, to you and me. Our Lord, when he was the light of the world, he's gone. Now he says, ye are the light of the world. And mind you, when the Lord comes, and the Holy Spirit is taken away, and the church rises, the salt gone, the world will fast go to corruption. The light gone, oh, what darkness, what darkness. I have often wondered, brethren, if you can give me a little light on it, I'll be glad. I have often wondered, what will our gospel halt be used for when the light of the world is gone, when the salt of the earth is removed, and it goes to corruption? Is it possible that someone will stand behind this desk and preach strong delusion? We are the light of the world, and what an influence. In a mid-south state in the west, a man who was chief of police told me something. He said, we get reports from all over the United States of the amount of crime per capita. And he said, being in a position to know which city, in which cities there are assemblies, and in which cities there are large assemblies, I lay that downside along the crime per capita in that town, and I find, may not apply to a large city, I find that where's an assembly in an average sized town, there's less crime per capita. Is it that the salt has got its savor? Is it that the light is shining there? Ye are the light of the world. Now I wish to bring before you four things, as I see them in this lampstand, that will be necessary. Four things concern the lampstand that will be necessary if you and I are going to shine as light in this dark world. Turn, well, we won't turn them all. We'll turn to one to begin with. Turn, please, to the 15th chapter of John. I want to ask you to turn to each scripture, these four scriptures. We'll read this one. John chapter 15. I make no apology for asking to turn, but I don't want you to turn your Bibles all evening. We've read quite a few already. The English, well, he was Irish, but he came from England, the English evangelist Harry Moorhouse, he said, one of the sweetest sounds that reaches the ears of God in heaven is when the Lord's people are turning over the India paper pages of their Bibles. John chapter 15, I'm talking and not finding my place. 15th chapter of John, reading at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, cleanseth it, that may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I am reading particularly for this verse. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Now I want to take these words and apply these branches to the branches of the lampstand. The center shaft is Christ. The branches are beaten out of the center shaft. Separated from the center shaft, the branch is useless. No fruit except ye abide in me. Now I do not know if you can see from where you're sitting, because you're quite a distance away, but this branch here is just a little thick down here, a little thicker. Now the reason for that is, when this model was shipped to me from the city of Calgary to the city of Vancouver, they must have given it rough treatment and handling. And although this was wrapped in tissue paper, when I unwrapped the tissue paper, this branch was broken off, severed altogether. Of course, I got it fixed up. But I sometimes thought, maybe if I left it and held up that branch, brothers and sisters, witness, what use is that branch separated from the main shaft? What do I learn from this? Union with Christ will never be broken, but communion may be broken. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Severed from me. We were speaking in the home tonight, and my mind went back, and I thought, well, that just aptly fits in with my subject tonight. We were speaking about the late Mr. Samuel McEwen, that older ones knew. He left his home in Virginia in the month of November in 1943, and he bought a railroad ticket with a stopover in Cleveland, in Chicago, and Seattle, and going on to Los Angeles. He sustained a stroke in Seattle, and I brought him home to Petersburg, and he passed away shortly afterwards. I also had a long ticket, not as long as his, railroad ticket, a good old ticket, tickets of the good old days. I took it down and cashed it in. I was impressed with what I saw on the main stump
of that ticket. Not good of the cash. Not good of the cash. That is, let the conductor detach his speech. Look, brothers and sisters, you and I are not good of detached. Not good of detached. I see here the lesson of communion. Except ye abide in me and I in you. Union will never be broken. Communion can be broken. And I cannot understand how some can leave the assembly and go nowhere. They say, well, I can live just as godly a life alone by myself. I question that very much. So I learned the lesson of communion. The next scripture I would take you to would be the Epistle to the Colossians, where we read that in all things ye must have the preeminence. Now you will notice that this center shaft rises high above the branches. Now something has been a difficulty to quite a few, if you have Bible dictionaries and such like. There's likely a picture there of the triumphal arch of Titus in Rome. And on across that arch, there's a picture of men carrying a lampstand. And they're all on one level. No problem at all. That's authentic. That is the lampstand that was in the temple. The Emperor Titus knew nothing about the lampstand that was in the tabernacle. They're all on the level. This one is higher. Each of these branches are exactly the same length, no inferiority, but each one's a little lower because there's a knop and a flower in between each one. But here we have the center one rising above them all. Seven lamps, but there's the center. He must have the preeminence. That suggests to me the lordship of Christ in our lives. And if Christ is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And how often, brethren and sisters, in my experience, and it's nothing wonderful, I have noticed that those who seem to get on well in the world, there are exceptions, are those who give the Lord Jesus Christ his place, his place. I used to stay with a man called William Winters in St. Catharines. Mr. Winters started, he borrowed money to come over from Ireland, and then he bought a horse and a wagon and started a moving business alone, and his business grew until he had the largest individually owned transport business in all of Canada, with offices in Toronto, Hamilton, St. Catharines, Buffalo, and New York. Tremendous business. Sold it for a fabulous sum, and sold one of his farms for $100,000. He was a very humble man. His later days he did not go down to the office, but in the farm outside of town, the front window faced on the highway where his trucks would come and go. We used to have nice times together. We get down and pray. He used to speak like this to the Lord. You gave me this business. You have prospered me in this business. Lord, he said, I'd like to honor you in this business. Now, I'm not going to find fault with anybody working on Lord's Day. Nurses must do it. Doctors must do it. Men who operate service stations, sometimes they have to keep open. Thankful to say I know someone gets a man to look after it. But Mr. Winters told me, he said, I told my manager, David Sylvester, who became his son-in-law, son of the servant of the Lord. David, he said, not one wheel is to roll on one truck after midnight on Saturday until after midnight on Lord's Day. Never mind what. No wheels will move. God honored him. And I could tell you more. I will tell you something else and hurry on. A number of years ago when I had a Bible carriage, we used to, not many had automobiles in those days. I'm going back to around 1924, 1925. Many of the Lord's people liked to go from Vancouver to a conference 105 miles to the south. I fitted up the Bible carriage, took out a lot of things, and we put in seats and was able to take about 20 to the conference. They'd been going by train. We were driving along on one occasion to the conference, and the brother beside me, Mr. Thomas Funston, he's been with the Lord now for a few years. We laid him away a little while ago. He says, look, quick. Days of independent gas stations, service stations. And I looked, and I saw a sign over the door. This service station is closed on Lord's days. Well, there was no gas gauges on the instrument board then, but I knew there was plenty of gasoline. I said, Brother Funston, coming home, we're going to buy gasoline from that man. So we did. And we pulled in. And he came out, and he looked at my Bible carriage. Christ died for the ungodly, holding his letters. He went round the other side. Ye must be born again. Say, says, that looks good to me. Well, I says, that looks good to me. This service station closed on large days. And I said, thank you. And we got him to fill the tank. I said, what made you do that? Well, he said, when I bought this business, it was open 7 days a week. And I kept it open, but he said, I had a bad conscience. So I decided to close the service station on large days. Well, I said, isn't large day one of your best days? Say, he said, if I'd been open yesterday, the Labor Day weekend, I would have sold more gasoline in one day than I'd sell in a week or more ordinarily. And he said, in sunny weekends, Sunday was my big day. And I said, and you're closed on large days? He said, yes. I said, and how are you making out? Well, he put it back on me. He says, how do you think I'm making out? Well, I said, my Bible says, them that honor me, I will honor, but I just don't figure how it works. What do you think he said to me? He says, what brought you in here to buy gasoline? I said, that sign up there. He says, it brings in hundreds of them. Christians see that, to buy their gasoline. Now, I'm not telling you to close on. Some businesses, you can't do it. But what was that man doing? In all things, he must have the preeminence. There's something else. These lamps were to be filled every day. If these lamps had not been filled, the light would have gone out. Ah, why are some lights burning so dimly today? Neglect of getting the oil. A number of years ago, I was preaching the gospel in Forest Grove, Oregon, from Matthew chapter 25, the five wise and the five foolish virgins. And of course, I enlarged on the subject and I asked, has anyone here tonight got oil in their lamps? And it happened to be the anniversary of my spiritual birthday. And I said, friends, I got oil in my lamp up north in the city of Seattle, which is about 200 miles north. I got oil in my lamp on the 24th day of March in 1918 in Seattle. You never know what young children are taking in. You really don't. They surprise me sometimes. A young girl whose name was Mary, just a young girl, perhaps about 4 years of age. The next week, her folks are going home. They came visiting from away up north. And as they were driving along, the little girl says, Daddy, what town is this we're coming to? Why, says Mary, that's Seattle. Seattle, she said. Have you got time, Daddy, to drive around and show us Mr. Alves' oil well? Mr. Alves' oil well? He says, what are you talking about? Why, she said, he got oil in his lamp in Seattle. Ah, yes, she said, but Mary, he leaned forward, he says, this is Mr. Al's oil well. What about getting oil in our lamps? But now I want to get at something. If we are to shine as lights in the world, we must abide in Christ. Christ must have the preeminence to shine brightly. Must get oil in our lamps. But you know what Aaron had to do? I'm awfully glad to acquire this. I did not have this when I had this model in Madison Road, nor for some time later. But some years ago, I had the model set up in Camden, New Jersey, and a lady had asked me to come to her antique shop, but my wife was with me then. We didn't get round to it. But as I was getting nearer this subject, she says, I want you to come to my antique shop. Take a look around. So we did. She produced this. It was plain steel. I painted gold paint on it. He says, what do you think of that? Oh, I said, Mrs. Fisher, snuffer. She says, that's right. It's a genuine article. She said, that came from a large, old New England hole used in the days when they had kerosene lamps and the servant every week or oftener had to snuff the wick. Snuffer. It's for trimming off the wick. When we first came to Vancouver and settled on the edge of town, we had kerosene lamps. I'm the oldest in the family. I have three younger sisters. Bad business when that's the case, because I had an awful lot to do on Saturdays. And one of them wants to take every kerosene lamp outside, put them down on newspaper, refill the lamps, and then I had to trim the wicks. And if I didn't trim them properly, I got a trimming. appear. Now, what's the trimming for? To make them burn brighter. Brighter. Now, brothers and sisters, there's none of us like this process, this trimming business. But it's often necessary for our divine errand, if you allow me to use this word, to give us a trimming. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if he be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. But I want to say this from this platform. I have heard some of the most unkind things said when our divine Aaron gives us a sermon. Unkind things. It's whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And that godly sister, a very godly sister, with a godly husband, on a Wednesday afternoon, they get in their Model A car. Where are they going? They're going to visit the sick. There's a collision. There's an accident. Her collarbone is broken. Her right arm is fractured. So on. The phones begin to ring. Serve her right. Shame, brothers and sisters. That's not what this trimming is for. Or that good brother, that farmer, who had a heart for the people of God. And he got to put his hay in the barn, but a little too green. His internal combustion. He lost his whole crop of hay and the barn as well. And on Monday in the street corner, one brother said to the other, just as I expected, served him right. No, brethren and sisters, that's wrong. If I was to speak on the subject of chastisement is not always for bad behavior. Every branch that beareth not fruit, he purges it. What for? This may bear more fruit, and so on. We need to be very careful. There were two, There were two elderly brethren batched together. One never married, the other was a widower. One of them was a big, strong, robust man. The other had a puny, sickly body. The big, strong man used to get up in the morning, rightly so, prepare breakfast, and call his brother, or if not able to get up, he would take it into the bedroom. One morning, breakfast cooked as usual, called him, no answer. Went in. Can't make it today, he said. And the big brother, but he had a big heart. He looked down on him, looked down at him. He said, calling him by name, he said, you must be an awful sinner. God's always giving a trimming, isn't he? What do you think he said? He smiled, and he called his big brother by name, and he shook his head. He says, I sometimes wonder whether you're a son or not, because you never get a trimming. Ah, there it is. And that godly sister, who never married, lived up to into her 90s. When she was in her 70s, she slipped on the ice. She broke her hip. She limped the rest of her life. When I came home, it was a Monday. I came home from work, and my wife told me about it. Well, I said, I'd like to go and visit her right away, but tonight is business meeting night, first Monday of the month. But I said, when I come home tomorrow, let us get supper as early as we can. I'll get down and visit Miss Henry, get there early before anybody else gets there, and have a little talk with her. So we got through our meal, and I think we just picked a psalm that night. And I said to my wife afterwards, I said, there's the two verses I'm going to read to Miss Henry. Just the thing. So down we went. No one there. Got in early. Well, I said, how are you, Miss Henry? She says, well, not very good. The morphine is not really doing its work. The pain was intense. So after talking a little, she said, well, never mind about me. She said, began to talk about other things. I looked at my watch and I said, now, Miss Henry, before anybody else comes, I want to read two verses to you that we were reading tonight. Cheer you up a little. So I went to get my Bible. I got my Bible. She says, before you read your two verses, will you hand me my Bible off the table? And I handed her a shiny, covered, well-used Bible. I handed her a Bible. She said, I would like to read two verses to you that I got before 6 o'clock this morning. I got mine about 6 o'clock at night. What do you think she read? She read to me the very two verses I was going to read to her. And then she began to tell me what she got out of them. So my eyes were filled. Now she says, read your verses. I said, Miss Henry, I have no verses to read to you. Oh, she said, you're going to read two verses to me. I said, yes, but you read them to me. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. There must be the trimming. And I'll connect this tomorrow night, God willing, with something about the golden altar. Now, you see this? Now, this is a remarkable thing. You trim off the wick. That black, smutty stuff. Where does it go? In there. It doesn't fall on the ground. It's in there. Well, after there's some in there, then what happens? Well, there's a golden snuff dish. And God's vessels are always covered. It's a golden snuff dish. Put it in there. Put the lid on it. Is that what's done today? No. Did I not tell you what some do with it? The smut was around the trimming. Spread it all over the place. That little... If you ever just try, if you ever try and trim a kerosene lamp, oh, you'll get enough black on the tip of your finger to blacken your whole face. It drops on the floor. Somebody steps on it. And you spread the thing all over the place. When we were younger, and used to try and do a little repairing on our cars, couldn't afford to go to the garage, the repairman, and didn't work so hard to repair. And you know what a garage floor is like, especially the old cars. There's lots of oil. My wife, she saw that. Do you think I was allowed to walk from the garage to the greasy floor onto the carpet of the front room? I should say not. Bring none of that greasy oil in here. Brothers and sisters, don't let us carry that around. It's a solemn thing. When our divine Aaron does a little trimming, it's in here. Put it in there. Close it. Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ascalon. Whom the Lord loveth, it chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. It was a shine of lights in the world. It needs to be abiding in Christ. Christ preeminent in our lives, Lord in our lives, filling of the lamps, and the trimming now and again. The hand of our Father upon us, as a father chastises his own son, and will shine the light. The Lord bless his word to us.